How's it going? That's good. I got up to speak in a church one time, and I had them laughing for about 10 minutes at the start. I mean, there was people slapping their thighs. They were bent over laughing, and I hadn't even spoken yet. They were just looking at me. But, see, there's a few that get that. I love Australian self-deprecating humour. I love the fact that we can look at ourselves and laugh. And I tell you, for a lot of us, there's a lot to laugh about. Just recently, I was overseas, and I was staying at a hotel in Korea. And I went through my normal morning ablutions, got out of the shower, reached into my travel pack for my deodorant, sprayed it under my arm, and then realized it was shaving cream. Then I was thinking to myself, do I shave now or not? Because I didn't want to waste it, you know. But I tell you what, I look at myself in the mirror and I start giggling. And laughter is good. The Bible tells us laughter does good like a medicine. And there's a lot of people in the world that have no laughter in their life, no fun, no sense of merriment. And I'm glad that in Australia we do chuck off at each other. I'm going to try and keep this short today, or as short as possible, but I do want and pray that the Holy Spirit has His way, and that He and I are in sync this morning. You see, when I was thinking, when Kerry asked me to preach, would I do it? I started thinking, what will I speak about? What do you want to talk about to this wonderful group of people? Who, by the way, I am in incredible fear of speaking in front of, because I know that you guys love Jesus. Fear is not the right word, but you know, I am so conscious of the fact that you guys love Jesus. This is a church that worships the Lord and takes that seriously. But nevertheless, I thought I've got to wait on God and let's hear from Him. What does He want me to speak about? And I started to think about how much lack of joy there is in the world today. The lack of joy. And why is that? So I'll just give a little testimony of my background. In November 1976, absolutely broken and in despair, having tried everything in my life, I was nearly 22 years old, having tried everything in my life to make myself happy. Everything. I was not a Christian, by the way. I had tried everything. Everything. Many times. Trying to fill up that space in my life that would somehow make me happy. And on that night in November 1976, I said to God, I give up. I give up. I can't work it out. This world stinks. This world is an evil, rotten, awful place. And some of the people in it are evil and rotten. And I've come to realize that I'm just as bad as all of them. I surrender. And I gave my heart to Jesus that night. The next morning, I woke up. The first thing I said to my mother at breakfast, how do I get into ministry? She broke down and wept. You see, I made a deal with God that night. And I went to bed asleep that night like I'd never slept before, because my heart was filled with joy. So today, I want to talk about finding joy. Finding joy. Eventually, I went, of course, and joined full-time ministry. I did other different work during those years, but eventually went into YFC. I want to just talk a little bit about Youth for Christ, because I want to take this moment. This church supports many, many wonderful missions around the world. And I've got to tell you, I've been on the eldership a number of years. This church, and I thank Pastor Richard McAllister, for really making that a real emphasis, to promote mission, to promote those things that God is doing in the earth. In this church, I can't not believe how much money comes out of this church to support those missions around the world. And Youth for Christ is one of those wonderful missions. It's the thing I belong to. But this church supports YWAM, and you name it. We've got some kind of connection to it. We've just taken on Compassion to do that work up in Thailand. But being part of Youth for Christ has meant over the years that I've come into contact of young people, particularly young people, who are so dedicated to God that they put themselves in positions where I think angels fear to tread. I'm talking young people, early 20s, late teens, who go into places in the world where most of us wouldn't want to go in without a machine gun. I mean, these are dangerous, dangerous places. They don't just go in and then come back out again. They go in and live there. I got to ask myself over and over again, what have you got? What is it? And yet, these people are not despondent. These people are never, ever, ever, not one out of all that I've met, and I've met hundreds, not one is filled with despair or filled with hopelessness. In fact, when I speak to them, they light up. They're filled with joy. They're filled with joy. Would you like that joy? Would you like that joy? I want that joy. I've been chasing that joy. I think I get that joy from time to time. I live in that joy. But I got to tell you, that's what I'm chasing after in my life, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. I want to read from the book of Nehemiah. We can bring that up on the screen if we got that, guys. In fact, I hope I haven't put. Yeah, that's it. There's a few chapters, 5 to 12. We're going to read. So let's just go. Let's start from the beginning. I want to just preempt this, that this is after Jeremiah's rebuilt the walls. He's called all the people together. They built a big podium, and he gets up there with a bunch of other guys, and Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him, because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And the Levites, you see all their names there, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. And they read the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Now, the Bible tells us this went on all morning. This wasn't just a kind of like, oh, let's get together for 5 or 10 minutes. We'll read a few passages and let's break for tea. This went on all morning. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites, who were instructing the people, said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. I've got to tell you, the law will bring you to tears. I've got a saying that religion will kill you, but faith will give you life. Religion, but when I say religion, I mean the following of rules for rule's sake. It's dead. It's death. It's awful. It's a lot to cry about. Tell you, nobody can do it. I can't do it. Nobody can do it. But faith, living a life of faith, rather than just religious observances. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared." That's an interesting little sideline there. "This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." That's an incredible bit of scripture. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's not what the world tells me. That's in fact exactly opposite from what the world tells me. Then let's keep going. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to celebrate, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. You see, the wall had been completed. Now, I believe that the wall that Nehemiah built is a type. In the Bible, we have a lot of types. Things that reflect something greater, an idea that's greater. So what's good about a wall? That's, you know, there's lots of walls being built over the years. Loads of walls being built. What's good about a wall? Well, the reason that I believe God put this in Scripture for us is to let us understand that inside a wall is security. Inside a wall, the wall represents safety. It represents a barrier against those things which would come to harm. A wall represents a place of home. It gives us definition of where we live. A wall gives us safety, security, place. How does this fit with joy? They had just finished the wall. They had just built the wall. They're now looking, let's worship God. Let's listen to His word. And they got all despondent. Oh, the Lord, the word is so hard, and how do we live with that? And Nehemiah says, but rejoice, celebrate. You are in a safe confine. You want to read that whole story? It's a great story. I'm going to just sidetrack for a little. Excuse me. So the other day, I'm reading the newspaper, and I just happened to pick up a little tiny little snippet about a story about Charlie Chaplin. Know Charlie Chaplin? Now, here's a guy that grew up in incredible poverty, with his brother and his mother in London. His father left them. Then he finds himself in Hollywood some years later, incredibly wealthy. And on Christmas Day, this is the reason it was in the paper, because it was on Christmas Day, 1977, Charlie Chaplin died. And on his deathbed, the priest came in to give the last rites, as they do in some liturgical churches. And the priest said, "May the Lord have mercy on your soul." And the last words that Charlie Chaplin ever spoke, why not? It belongs to him. "May the Lord have mercy on your soul." Charlie Chaplin said, why not? It belongs to him. In that moment, he spoke a truth that I guess we miss so often. We have become so attuned to the world's way of looking at things that everything we get belongs to us. My bank account, my house, my car, my job, my kids. It's mine. And the Bible says that's not true. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Charlie Chaplin, on his deathbed, says about his soul, it belongs to God. So even a guy so distant from God can recognize that. But I want to tell you a little bit of background about Charlie Chaplin. Because this guy made a lot of people laugh. This guy made, if happiness was the goal in life, if happiness was the reason, the thing we should chase after with all our might and strength, this guy gave more happiness to more people in his life than I can think. But here's what happened in his own autobiography. This is what he wrote. He'd just come back from England. His mother now had lived in Hollywood as well. So when I returned to Hollywood from England, I dropped in to see my mother. "What do you think of your son and all this nonsense?" I said whimsically. And she replied, "It's wonderful, but wouldn't you rather be yourself than live in this theatrical world of unreality?" And then he's had a little joke at her and said, "Well, you're the one that got me involved in the theatre in the first place." And she said, "If only you had put your talents in the service of the Lord, think of the thousands of souls you could have saved." Charlie Chaplin's mum. If only you had put your talents in the service of the Lord. This brings me to tears. Think of the thousands of souls that could have been saved with a talent like that. And he goes on to say that Hollywood has these absurd values. And it was in that sense, that climate of values, that his life got taken from this walk as a young kid who knew Jesus into this four marriages, messed up life. It's terribly sad. And Hollywood continues to tell us how to live. Hollywood, by the way, not slagging off at movies, love them, okay? You can get a lot of good stories, great entertainment out of that, but there's some values in there. You need to have a good grid going on in your brain in a lot of that stuff, because there's a lot of rubbish. Recently, Chris Hemsworth, he's an Australian actor, he says, "You get to Hollywood, you achieve something, and then you realize, expletive, it didn't actually bring me the happiness I thought it was going to. It didn't fix anything." This is probably one of Australia's great Hollywood exports at the moment, saying this. He says, "I don't wake up and look in the mirror and say, yep, it's all perfect." And yet, what's he got? Millions of dollars. Fame, notoriety, everything the world says that you should get to make you happy. Chris Hemsworth says, "I thought it was going to give me happiness. It didn't fix anything." So obviously there's some kind of duality going on in things here. People thinking that they're going to get happy in life if they just get a bunch of stuff. And I dare you to write down a definition of happiness and don't include getting stuff. Define happiness without getting stuff. I dare you to do it. Can't do it. Because happiness, apparently, is driven by circumstance. And that's the illusion that Hollywood, along with the rest of the world, has been selling to the church as well as the world. In fact, when I was thinking about this, I'm going to get to the point eventually, so just bear with me. But when I was thinking about this, I thought about the American Constitution, because right in the start of the American Constitution is this set of sentences. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Good. "That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." Good. "That among these are life." Good. "Liberty." Good. "And the pursuit of happiness." I start thinking, what on earth is the pursuit of happiness except getting stuff? Getting more stuff. I'm not happy right now, so I just need more stuff. The ads will tell you every time you turn the TV on, just get more stuff, you'll get happy. Eat this burger, that'll make you happy. Down in this shop, you'll get happy. Get this girlfriend, you'll be happy. Get that boyfriend, you'll be happy. Just get stuff, and you'll be happy. Obviously, this is not working. It's not working. Look at how many unhappy people are out there. I mean, I know what I'm like. I get in the car, getting along well with Jill, getting along well with the kids, getting along well at work, got everything's in order, money in the bank, things are going well. Get in the car, someone cuts me off, you dirty. My happiness goes like that. Are you telling me yours doesn't? We all do it, don't we? We it's all circumstantial. It's great while it's there, but then suddenly it's not, and we're not happy. What's the reason? Well, happiness is a nebulous thing. It's like a smoke. It's like a mist. We treat it like a commodity because we chase it, but you can't buy it. You can't go down and get a jar of happiness. I'll have a big one, please. They don't sell it. And I kind of thought about happiness in that fleeting sense of like living in Melbourne, because the weather changes. That's happiness. You don't know what you're going to get. If you've been to Melbourne, you'll know that. So what's the true sense of joy, the true source of joy? Where do we get it? How do we get it? I mean, people are aching for this. Here am I meeting these young people living in these third world developing nations under incredible duress, filled with joy. And over here we got all these Australians and Western people living with incredible wealth, opportunity. I mean, we're living the dream. You better get that in your head. Don't get any better than Australia. Does not get any better than this. And they're miserable. Young people here killing themselves in this environment, taking their own lives. Over here, surviving, hopefully, for the next day. And young people that I've met that are in the service of the Lord, who are bringing joy into the hearts of people that you cannot buy. You see, this is where the thing gets mixed up. People are chasing happiness, and what they really want is the joy of the Lord. They're chasing happiness. That's an illusion. That's a fakery. That's an artificial construct. What they really want, that they don't understand they want, is the joy of the Lord. So what's joy? Well, joy is a kind of a mixture of a lot of things. I think it's hope. I think there's a little bit of purpose. I think joy's got a little bit of peace in it. I think joy is, in a sense, if I was going to put it in words, joy is behind the walls of the sanctuary of God's heart. When you have joy, you are behind the walls in the sanctuary of God's heart. You are safe. You have purpose. You have future. You have hope. You have a plan, His plan. You are being strengthened. You're being secured. You're being girded up to be able to do the stuff that He wants you to do, that He will enable you to do. That's what people are wanting. But what they're looking for, where they're looking for it, is in the supermarkets and in the shopping malls. Now, get me wrong, I'm about as capitalist as they come. There is no better system than the free market system in the world. If you're hearing me saying up here that stuff is bad, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, but you won't find joy with it. You can have it, that's fine, but you will not find joy with it. You will find fleeting, momentary pleasure. And yet, when I go around the world and I look in the church, I see a lot of joyless people. And that really breaks my heart. Because they're not listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. I want to go to, I'm going to skip a couple of things because I'll run out of time. I want to go to what Paul said in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 11, 13. Paul says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And here's the key. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I can do this, all of this, through Him who gives me strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So circumstance has got nothing to do with it. The joy of the Lord is ever present. When you get it, you got it. That's, how good is that? Who wants that? Come on. Who wants to live in that? I want you, now Fanicum, come on. Come on, let's, I know Australians aren't demonstrative, but we got to be demonstrative this morning. Who wants to live with God's joy as often as they can possibly get it? Let's see it. That's it. That's what I'm saying. Anybody didn't put your hand up, you can have it as well. But it's okay to put your hand up. God wants us to get that joy. God wants us to live in that joy. I'm really going to cut this. I'm cutting this to pieces right here, but that's okay because I really feel like God's just wipe that out. So we know that Galatians 5:22 is all about the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, on and on it goes. I want you to get this. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And I want you to get this too. It's singular. The fruit of the Spirit is. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are. The fruit of the Spirit is. A bunch of things. One fruit, lots of flavors. Lots of different tastes. One fruit. You don't get optional extras with this. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now these are primarily, these are active words. And I just want to hone in on this quickly. We all know God is love. God is love. He doesn't give out, well, he does give out love. That's not all. God is actually love. He is the definition of love. Love is a person. Not a feeling. How about that? Love is actually God. So where do you find love? You go to God. If these things are all the same thing, they're all part of the same fruit, then God is joy. Am I right? Thank you. Craig Stewart's always a great help. God is joy. So where will I find joy? In God. Behind the walls of the sanctuary of God's heart. The resting place. The safe place. The growing place. The strengthening place. The holy place. Oh well, they threw it up, so I'll use it. This is a really old thing that someone taught me this years ago. You want to find joy? Seek Jesus, serve others, then look after yourself. Jesus first, others next, you last. That's in contradiction to what the world tells us, by the way. Well, world tells us put ourselves first, maybe others, and then if there's any space left over, we'll throw in Sunday service. will turn up to church. Done my duty for the year, for the week, for the month, whatever. Jesus first. Others next. So how are we going to get this joy? How do we get into God? Behind those walls. The type that Nehemiah modeled to us. The place of refuge. Are we going to stay following the same silly plans that we had? You know what the definition of lunacy is? It's doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. You're mad. Something's got to change. Now, I don't necessarily get into New Year's resolutions, but something's got to change. How can we live in that joy? See, I see people coming to Jesus oftentimes because they lack joy. I came to Jesus because I lack joy. I really, really wanted something. I didn't even know how to put my finger on it. Now I know it was the joy of the Lord. You see, when tough time comes, joy still stands. Yesterday I came along to a memorial service for Joshua Dahl, who sadly Tristan and Talitha lost. Just a tiny baby. And I wish you could have been here to hear when Tristan said he understood the kindness of God through that terrible situation. See, he had the joy of the Lord. You can't beat that. You can't beat that. There is nothing in this world that's worth even a skerrick of a moment in the joy of the Lord. And yet God offers this joy all the time to us, forever. Would you want it? Okay, there's four categories we've got to talk about. There's some here today, you might not even know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I've got to tell you, He will change your life. You will never be the same again, and it will be for the better in every single case. You need Jesus. You need Jesus so bad. You might not even know it. I don't know all of everybody's here, but if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, you need to know Him as your Lord and Savior. Now, you're looking at me, you're thinking, do I get it right? I get it wrong a lot of times. Just ask my family. But I know the truth, and the truth sets me free. So I can go back and I can go back into that safe place with God again. I step out of it. I'm not perfect. I spray shaving cream under my arms, for goodness sake. That, I'm telling you, I get it wrong so often. But I know where to go. You need to be in a relationship with Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Secondly, if you already are, you need to be able to find that place of joy so that you can work out His will for your life and do that. Remember what Charlie Chaplin's mother said? Imagine how many souls could have been saved if you had put your talents to the service of the Lord. That doesn't mean becoming a pastor or a missionary. It just means putting your talents to serve the Lord. Using the things that God has given you. You might be a builder, you might be an electrician, but putting those things to some way serve God, to glorify Him, to bless His name, to lift Him up. Imagine if you could use your talents. Imagine if the church would get on fire and the joy of the Lord welled up in within us. And enabled us to do that. Thirdly, and this is the big one, you can just change the slide here. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I meet so many Christians that know Jesus but struggle to walk with Him. Struggle to walk with Him. In and out like that. Today I'm with Jesus, tomorrow I'm with the world. Today I'm with Jesus, tomorrow I'm with the world. All their lives. That's no way to live. I'll tell you the rest of my testimony, and I left it to this bit. But I gave my heart to Jesus, and I mean I gave it 100%, November 1976. And I struggled for 3 months to live a godly life, a life that edified the name of Jesus. I struggled, and I couldn't work out, why am I having this struggle? What is it that I'm missing? I struggled. And I had a 180 degree turnaround. I was heading this way and I decided to go that way. But I was struggling walking in the Lord. I went to see a pastor. And he said, have you been filled with the Spirit? I said, well, what does that even mean? He said, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now, some are going to have some theological issues with this, but take it up with me later. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? I said, I don't even know what that means. He said, well, I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit comes in and baptizes you and fills you up, and that there will be evidences of that that will show in your life. And I said, okay. I already sold myself in the deal to God. I said, my life in exchange for yours, great deal. I'll have that. He gave me Jesus' life and I gave him my mess. Pretty good deal. But that daily walk. So he prayed for me. He laid hands on me. And he said, Lord, I should have filled David and baptized him with your Holy Spirit, so that there would be signs and wonders following him, that he would have the gifts of the Spirit following him. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, just get this right, the gifts of the Spirit are like a Christmas tree. You can get them. They're just free presents. They're free gifts. The fruit of the Spirit, on the other hand, you've got to be planted deep. It doesn't come out unless you're planted deep in Jesus. Okay, so he prayed that I would start to see evidences of the gifts of the Spirit. He said, you can just do that. Do you know what happened? In the next 24 hours, there wasn't skyrockets and stuff, nothing like that. I just got up after the prayer and said, oh, well, that was, let's see what happens. I'm a brand new Christian, by the way, at that point, pretty full of myself still. But the next 24 hours, God did a number on me through the Holy Spirit. And he let me see what it was like to live filled, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now for me, I began to speak in tongues. There are other people who begin to prophesy. There are others who get words of knowledge. I believe these gifts are for all of us. But you can't do it unless you're absolutely deep in God. You're going to make a decision today. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm making an offer. This, as you may not be, if you're not aware of this, this church happens to be a Pentecostal church. Hope that doesn't freak anybody out. But we believe that God works in and through the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's not some it. It's not some variation on the side of the Father and Jesus. He is the third person, okay? So, but it's through him, the Bible tells us, that we are enabled to live a godly life, number one. Number two, that these gifts flow out and this fruit comes from. So today I'm making an appeal. Any of those three things, you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to start walking with Jesus more solidly, and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can come to the front. And notice that when Nehemiah said to them, go and have a party, go and celebrate, the joy of the Lord is your strength, he told them to go and bless others. Isn't that a great thing? He said, go and celebrate, enjoy God but bless others, those who couldn't prepare. So that's all I got for you today. But I've got to tell you this. If you want the joy of the Lord, if you want the joy of the Lord that transcends circumstances, that will be with you in the darkest nights and in the brightest days, that just enables you to be filled with His presence despite what's going on around. Come up the front, let's get prayer. Get the praying team up, and I won't have the music if you don't mind, because I want this to be a really moment where we just get with God. So would everybody stand? If you want prayer for anything today, aside from those three things, that's fine, come out as well. But if you just want to make this deal with Jesus this morning, while every eye is closed and we just bow our heads before God, just to give people that opportunity to come forward. If you want this today, if you want the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you'd like to operate in those things, if you want to know the joy of the Lord, that's your strength. Today's the day. Today's the day. You can play games with it. You can play games with God. He's a pretty patient kind of guy. But He wants you today. Today is the acceptable day of the Lord. Today is the day. Today's the time. Chase God. Chase Him up. Prove Him. He will meet your wildest expectations in Him. Because He's God. God is joy. You want more joy? You want the joy that passes everything. What the Bible says is there's a peace that passes all understanding. And peace is a part of that makes up joy as well. Contentment, fullness, assurance of salvation. I was with my barber 2 days ago. He said to me while he was cutting my hair, "How do you know that you're saved?" I said, "Because Jesus told me. I have a relationship with Jesus." The guy in the chair next to me nearly fell off his chair. "I know because Jesus told me. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know it. Nobody can steal that from me. I got it. The devil can't take it. The joy of the Lord is my strength." Not my strength, the joy of the Lord. I'm weak. He's strong. You want that? Today's the day. I need you to make a decision today. I'm going to say a couple more times because I don't want anybody to go home and say, "I wish I'd have gone forward. I wish I'd have gone out. I wish I'd have accepted that offer today." Now, God is patient. God will be chasing you. But today is the day. Now is the time. You might have had a hurt in your life. You say, I've tested God before He let me down. I can understand that you're reticent, you're uncertain. God's here today. "Test me," He says. You might have been hurt. That's never God. Something else has gotten in the way. Something else has happened. It's never God. This is a broken and fallen world, and the enemy's running rampant in it. Today's the day. We're gonna do a deal with Jesus right now. Okay, can I have the prayer team out, please? And I'm going to close in prayer. If you would like to come out for anything today, any need or any issue that you're facing, please do. I'm going to close in prayer, and everybody can go and have a cup of coffee and do what you're doing.
Yep. Just before you close, remember I said this morning, dream big. This is part of it. God wants you to dream big. And I'm preparing a 4-week sermon on the Holy Spirit. And I really believe this year we're going to see signs and wonders. We're going to see miracles. But you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm just so excited. I dreamed big this morning, but I didn't dream this big. That these people out the front here, you will experience signs and wonders and miracles in your life. And I'm really urging and encouraging, if anyone hasn't been filled with the Holy Spirit, is to come forward now, because this year is going to be absolutely huge for everyone. And I want none to miss out on what the Holy Spirit is going to do in our lives.
Amen.
This year.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. So let's just close in prayer. And those that want to go and get a coffee, if you want to come and get prayer, please come up. Father, we thank you. We first thank you that you made us. The fact that you gave us life, that you made us in your image, we thank you, Lord. We give you thanks for giving us a place on this earth. We thank you that you know our name. You know every hair on our head. We thank you that you never get it wrong. And Father, we ask you to forgive us when we've blamed you for stuff that is not attributed to you. We should never attribute to you. Father, forgive us when we've said of you things that are just not right, not true. You are a holy, loving, kind, good, joy-filled God. And you want the best for us. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that you bought for us what we couldn't buy for ourselves. You paid with the blood of Jesus our debt. We thank you. Well, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that he's here right now. We thank you that he is our comforter. He is our strength. He is our empowerer. Lord, as we pray for these people this morning, and even if people leave here this morning, Father, that everybody would leave with a residue of your Holy Spirit today that they didn't have when they came. A sensitivity to you that they didn't have when they came this morning. Father, that your joy would well up in the souls of the people in this place, and that they would know that incredible sense of your presence, of your comfort, of your strength, of your empowerment, that the joy of the Lord would be evident in them. And as they go out into the workplaces and the schools, the homes, as they go out, Lord, this week, that it would be so evident, people will comment, Father, that they might also know that that joy is for them. So we give you thanks for all these things because of Jesus, because of what he did, and ask, Lord, to bless these people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, let's get praying.